What's up? I'm Cody Hartley.
I'm Brendan Moxley, and we're from Brave Lake, and you're listening to motherfucking Millennials Suck.
My old roommate gave me a last minute ticket to Slayer's last tour.
Fuck yeah.
And I wish she had given it to me sooner because I didn't have enough time. Because I wanted to get a shirt made that said Randy Blythe killed a guy and wear it to the show. But
is there a story behind that?
Yeah, he actually killed
not know
he
about
he
that?
Kicked the guy off a stage.
Wait, I don't.
So they were playing a show in some European country. And this dude that had some medical condition or whatever charged the stage and he ran up on the stage and he tried to grab Randy Blythe. Randy Blythe kicked him. He fell off the stage. The dude died.
I thought you were talking about Slayer. No, I know about the Lamb of God situation because he was in like a prison in another country for like months at a time.
As soon as he made
time.
Mail, he got out.
There's a video of him getting out like crying his fucking eyes out.
How are they not on the Mount Rushmore of metal bands when their vocalist literally has a murder warrant in another country?
They
know?
Should be. They're
100%.
Look at Eyes Wide Dying. Tim Abese is, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hired a guy to kill his wife. I did jail time.
And we're all like, all right,
their new record's pretty good.
But they were Christian.
Look at Michael Jackson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson did nothing wrong.
I don't think he did either.
He never did any of
that.
He has never
talked about Michael Jackson. I swear to God.
I swear
to God. He makes good music.
Y'all see that?
Never happened. Fuck. Never happened. Not the same thing.
I don't.
Change
think
it to R.
Either.
Kelly.
I'm sorry,
because R. Kelly did that shit.
You don't know
shit.
What side I'm on right now. I don't know what side I'm on either.
I still
either,
like Remix to Ignition.
I still listen to R. Kelly. It's on my sex playlist, which is probably illegal, I think. But you know what? It's good. They're bangers, bro.
Oh no, dude, we were sound checking and I was like, I don't see nothing wrong. All I heard was like, boo!
I was like, fuck, I forgot about that shit.
Every time he gets off stage, he's like, so who wants to talk about politics and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And
I'm like, we were doing a show in Marion, Ohio.
Dude, Marion is rough.
Dude, it's a rough one. We used to do we did a show at this place called The Loft, and they literally had a loft above like a country club looking place that they would hold shows in. And there was some technical error. I can't remember what it was, but they told Wes, like, just do crowd work, distract the crowd or to distract the crowd. So while they were figuring out the backing track, Wes is like, so, you guys want to hear a joke? And he literally says, why do white people own pets? Because they can't own people anymore. And then the room is quiet because it's all white people because it's a metal show in Marion, Ohio. And then he goes, so does anyone else have any jokes they want to come tell everyone?
I've got a very similar story.
It was the worst transition period in any live show ever. And they were the headliners.
I got a very similar situation that happened to me with that.
You never go with jokes.
Never.
What is it?
You go with Third Eye Blind every time.
Every time.
So how can you top that? I want to know.
I don't know if I can top it because that was great. But I got banned. My band has barred me from ever telling jokes on stage again.
Because you're bad at it.
Well,
a lot of Wes is apparently bad at it too.
I made up a joke that I thought was hilarious. And so we were at the Southgate House.
You notice how I said I thought was hilarious?
Yes.
That's a key point to the story.
People learn and they grow.
People do
grow. So I'm on stage and it's like we're like three songs in. And I was like, hey, you know the problem with disappointing little people porn? A lot of shortcomings. No one said a word. I got real quiet and was like, anyways, this is foreclosure. And my band.
That's classic.
So we go into the practice space the next day and they're like, we got to talk to you, Christian. Is this about the little people joke? And they're like, you're not allowed to tell jokes.
They walked at you like, hey.
You're like, I know I've been up for days since. I'm sorry.
Honestly, I thought it was funny.
He said, honestly, I haven't stopped thinking about it since I said it. I clearly made a mistake.
I was wrong. I know that now.
Yeah, no, I'd never do that now. But like,
do you guys know who James Acaster is? He's a British comedian.
Yes, he's hilarious.
He has a story about an old band he was in and their own. what was it called? Pin Drop or some shit. And I guess they had like they had auditioned him. He had great like just regular.
It was
vocals,
fucking Lloyd.
Lloyd. Dude's name was Lloyd. And I guess I'm not gonna tell the whole story because it's his joke. But essentially, they kept telling him not to do shit that they just kept, that he just kept doing. Yeah. And eventually, when they were going to kick him out of the band, he told them to hold on a second. And he walked outside. He was like trying to introduce himself. He's like, oh, he's talking to some people. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm in a band called Pit. And before he could get the name out, they kicked him in the nuts and then just rode their bikes away. He's like, he's still in the band. Because he couldn't kick him out because we felt bad for him.
Holy shit.
He would wear a dress and they're like, and run it out on stage. They'd be like, stop wearing a dress to our shows.
No, he was screaming, is what it was. Yeah. He went out there and he would wear the dress. Yeah. They were like, he brought out the dress again and he was like, okay, fair enough. We didn't bring up the dress. Yeah, so we didn't tell him not to do that.
We know all about wearing dresses.
I was about to say, I believe y'all played a show with dresses on once.
We were Glass World. We were hot.
Glass World. That's the reason.
Tell us about this.
I feel like every time we play with Glass World, we're wearing something goofy because the first time it was dresses.
Yo,
and I didn't have any underwear on. I don't know if there's any that kind of information or not.
Ugly Christmas sweater show.
Hey, she used to be in like Rose.
She used to be in the Rose Hill.
Yep.
Do you remember Before My Revenge? They used to play with the Rose Hill a lot.
Uh-oh.
This is the first screaming metal band I ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, it was at a sixth grade talent show or an eighth grade talent show.
And you thought it was horrible, right?
No, I was like, what is that? I want to break faces. And then I just started going.
My favorite band of all time, I thought sounded like shit when I first heard them. And then as I got progressively more into metal, I swung over to Bullet for My Valentine again after hearing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I fell in love with them.
That was me and the Chodos. First time I heard him, I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And then like...
I heard Scream and Fire and I was like, the screaming, And then I heard All That Remains, or not All That Remains, I'm sorry. All These Things I Hate. And I was like, fuck, this is a really good song. Who is this? Bullet, the same fucking band. And then I got into like all of their albums. Who's everyone's like number one influence? Okay, not number one influence because I can go very far.
We can go down
a rabbit hole right now. But let's keep it simple and say who got into music?
Hey, my parents were real annoying about music when I was growing up. I kind of found music on my own because my mom would listen to the same Travis Tritt record every day.
Travis Tritt!
Every day. And it was a greatest hits record. So it was all our favorite songs. So I'd hear every one of them every day. And my dad just listened to like the Eagles.
But like when you picked up an instrument, who like influenced you the most?
Honestly, my friend Zach Peters, he was the bassist for Before My Revenge. I didn't grow up around music or anything like that. And I was like 13 and he was like, hey, you want to go to Guitar Center with me? And I was like, sure. Why are we going there for? And he was like, I play an instrument. And I was like, okay. And then it was like an alien concept to me.
And you walked into this fucking room full of like guitars.
Dude, I was like, there's a whole place for this. It's also the first time I ever had Chipotle. It changed my life. Cause I eat Chipotle at least once a week right now.
All on the same day?
All on the same day. Changed my life. It's the first time I went to Guitar Center or Chipotle. It was over at Cincinnati Mills before it died. It's a mall that doesn't do shit now.
What about you?
This question's easy for me. So it's very similar. I grew up, when I was growing up, my parents were very strict, like Southern Baptist.
Oh.
Yeah, so we weren't even allowed to listen to music with like drum beats, which is why I play the violin. Because like it was one of those things like with music. But that changed over time, obviously. But of course, so naturally, when I discovered music for myself, I gravitated to the heaviest leg of shit that
the
I
the most
thought,
extreme,
that,
yeah,
the most rebellious shit possible.
The heaviest out there, obviously, with the music I listen to now. But for me, it was like, this is crazy. I love this. And to this day, my favorite band forever will always be The Used. Because it was like
that's
that was like
one.
That was
so
like
so many people fucking love them. I just can't get
that's,
into
dude that is like I okay, my first car was a Dodge Neon that blew up like 20 minutes after I got it like just died. So
that's
then I would use my mom's minivan.
That is love.
She had a purple
right
minivan, and I remember being 16 and just blasting the
that's fucking punk rock
minivan.
The Use,
I love The Use.
That is fucking punk rock.
That's the band that literally I would not be playing music today if it weren't for The Use. And their new album, Heartwork, is fire.
Really?
Go listen to it. It's got, and it's cool because the second half of the album is all features with him. He's got Mark Hoppus. He's got the fucking guy from Beartooth on one of the songs.
Caleb Shomo.
The guy. Yeah. So the second half, he has all features. The first half is all just him.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic. He was on, he was also on MGK's album.
Heartwork.
With right. Youngblood and him in that one song. I just love The Used, man. That's it for me. Easy.
Okay. What's yours?
Man, my parents listened to all kinds of good music, including the heavy shit. But the first time a musician like really grabbed me and inspired me was the Rev from Avenged Sevenfold. Like as a drummer, dude, he was just unreal.
Goat status.
All right, fucking
yes.
Yours?
So a much similar story to like Jason's. My mom had
everybody wants to
a
be like
much
me.
Worse country artist under her belt, Toby Queef.
So Toby Queef?
Toby Queef.
Toby Keith Fox.
Toby Queef can get fucked. It was on CMT every fucking morning, right? Dude, one day my dad just fucking showed me Metallica. He was like, here, you might like this instead of that bullshit your mom listens to. And it was Ride the Lightning. I was like, instantly. Fuck yeah.
Boner.
And then
Metallica,
like,
right?
I asked my grandpa one day, I was like, do you listen to like heavy metal and stuff? My dad just showed me Metallica and Slayer and shit like that. And my grandpa goes, Led Zeppelin's the best band and the only band you ever need to hear. And I heard Led Zeppelin and I was like, you know what? Led Zeppelin fucked. So I started getting into classic rock still early.
Yes.
My
dad's brother, on the other hand, fucking listened to like Cannibal Corpse and Six Feet Under. And he actually showed me Body Count. And
y'all see that meme with Cannibal Corpse going around where he got arrested for like owning illegal guns and they pulled up the Spotify and the song name was like, Guns in My House for Murder. And he even remains like, there's a skull in my house. I thought that was the funniest fucking meme I've ever seen.
I think the dopest like other store like that is J. Cole.
I love J. Cole.
Neighbors.
Dude, so good.
Dude, the music video for Neighbors.
Do you know the story
like,
behind it?
Neighbors think I'm selling dope. Yeah, and the fucking SWAT team busts
because
him.
That shit really happened. Because
the neighbors, like, they called the police, said, hey, these guys are fucking drug dealers.
Well,
they
J.
came
Cole,
busting in, and then afterwards they kept using these sticks to turn the cameras away.
Yeah.
Fucking sketchy ass cops, dude.
So what happened was J. Cole was on tour, and before he went on tour, what happened, like, he would have a bunch of like no name artists that were like trying to find themselves musically come over into his studio. And he was trying to do, like, he was trying to help put on no name artists. And his name, because he lives in a bougie white neighborhood in North Carolina, everybody decided that his neighbors decided he was selling dope. So when he went on tour, the police raided his house.
So bad.
And they found nothing because he's not a dope salesman. So he ended up settling a lawsuit with him for like $3 or $4 million or some shit like that.
All right, influences.
Wait, what was yours?
It hasn't gone yet.
Fuck you, Cody.
Wow, don't talk about Cody
me
like
first,
that.
And then me.
Me first. So my influences. So my mom started dating this guy, which turned out to be my stepdad, but they divorced and whatnot. But we would hang out. And mom wouldn't be around, and he'd be like, hey. So she tells me that you have a drum set.
Wait, who is this, your dad?
Ben. Waylon's
stepdad.
Dad.
Okay.
So I'm like, he'd be like, yeah, your mom tells me that you have a drum set in the garage. And I used to fucking play the Powerpuff Girls theme song when all the time.
I'm getting a Powerpuff Girls tattoo soon.
That was, I want a Samurai Jack tattoo.
Fuck yeah.
So, okay, but, Samurai Jack, yes.
But I would play the Powerpuff Girls soundtrack, like the theme song all the time. The quick fucking drums, like, bubbles.
But, yeah.
I used to play that.
Sugar and spice and everything nice.
I played that and then fucking gave up. I was like, yeah, this ain't going nowhere. And he came around and he showed me Lamb of God and System of a Down.
Ooh.
And I was like, word? He's like, you have an Ibanez guitar. Can I play on it a little bit? He's like, actually, me and your mom are just going to get you a guitar. And the coolest looking guitar when I was 12 years old was a goddamn Dean.
Was it a V? Was it a V?
No, it was the fucking one arm star. Dean, little did I know, they are not so fond of me type of people, but still, I fucking love that guitar. And it was like a knockoff, but he would have his friend, Skylo Hashi. He's still my idol to this day, probably one of the best guitarists of all time. And he would play that shit. He would play, like, they came up with a song called Elvira that they made like 15 years ago that I can still play the whole song to this day. And the other song, the one riff that I always play, Blood of the Scribe, Lamb of God, I can still play whole song too because I was like so much into it. So that would be my stepdad, Ben Holtzberry, and Skylar Ohashi. They got me into music.
Oh, yeah.
And to this day, we still have, he still has a Lamb of God poster posted up in the band practice.
A giant fucking blanket thing of like the old man,
flag.
The Lamb of God. But I also grew up because my stepdad was in a cover band. So this is why I fucking hate Pantera. Dude, they would cover Cemetery Gates every fucking practice. And I would just have to chill there. My mom was out doing her shit at work or whatever. And I would just have to hang out with Ben. And I'd just be chilling there listening to Cemetery Gates. And I was like, this is trash. And then some kids would come up and show me a Boba Flex CD when they were good. Sorry. And I was like, dude, this is pretty dope. I'm 13 now, but this is pretty dope. And then afterwards, they would play Killswitch Engage. And I was like, yeah, this is my fucking shit.
A band that's never been bad.
No, never.
They've only ever been great. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Howard guy personally, but they're a great band regardless. That song they did that had both Jesse and fucking Howard on it was dope.
It's not
Jared Dines' new stuff with Howard Jones.
What the fuck was that band called? They had released a whole new album. Amazing. Yeah. Is it?
Hated on it at first because Jared Dines is such like a...
He's a tool.
He's like mainstream YouTube metal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. He's also an elitist.
And I just always thought he was egotistical.
Aren't we all?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm better than everyone else, but I think that everyone's like still okay.
I feel like he just defined.
I don't know. No, it's like I feel like I'm better than all of you. I mean, I'm
just I pulled the mic up to laugh into that.
I feel like you said the word humble about like 30 minutes ago.
But I would like to humbly say that I'm better than all of you.
The humblest sis.
I'm the most humble.
We got one left.
I'm the most humble superior being in the room.
I'll respect that.
Answer your own question, sir.
Green Day got me into playing guitar.
Hell yeah.
And then Bullet for My Valentine is pretty much the reason I play the music I do now.
See, I was going to say earlier, they're like...
progressed from them.
Like, somehow, there's just a list of bands that got the short end of the stick because the internet decided it was going to be cool to shit on them. And some of them were really important. And one of them is Bullet for My Valentine.
And Nickelback. You're right.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Nickelback. Nickelback's another one.
Nickelback and metalcore.
But if you look at Bullet for My Valentine, yeah. They lit the way for alternative bands to find a footing on the radio.
Yeah,
they did. And then Five Finger Death Punch came through and ruined.
They were very
Five Finger Death Punch. No, Five Finger Death Punch came in and ruined it.
Bullet was called Jeff Kill John back in the 90s, and they were big into Nirvana, and then they progressed to more like Trivium style metalcore, metal, whatever you want to call it. And then they changed their name to Bullet for My Valentine. And since then, The Poison is when I got into them. And then I found their EP and then I followed them throughout every album. So for me, that's who influenced me musically today. I'm not saying that like anything that I write, it sounds like Bullet, but yeah, because of got them you in. Is yeah. why I'm
here. Every riff that he writes, we say, Cody from My Valentine.
No, the first time I ever heard Bullet, it was on this mix CD that the equipment manager of my high school football team made. He was one of those kids that like really wanted to play but wasn't good. So they just gave him a job as equipment manager. But he made a mix CD for when we would get hyped up in the locker room and shit, and Hand of Blood was on it. And I was like, this song slaps. And for like 3 years, yeah. I'd never heard another Bullet for My Valentine song except that one. And then finally their first album comes out and it's got fucking...
Tears Don't Fall.
Yeah, Tears Don't Fall and shit. I'm like, that name sounds super familiar. Why is that? And then I was like, oh, because I have a mix CD that has the same band on it.
Dude, middle school, I played Pee Wee football and they all knew that I listened to metal. So I brought in my burnt CD that I got from my cousin. And they didn't understand what kind of metal that I listened to, but they still fucked with it. But the coaches were a little skeptical because it was Suicide Silence, old Suicide Silence, and Carnifex.
Nice.
Yes. I love Carnifex.
Peter Griffin little skits in it too. They were just like, maybe we shouldn't play this, but all the kids are like, fucking killing it today.
Dude, I was in seventh grade choir, right? And every Friday for rehearsal, like a student could bring in a song and then she would print out the music for it. We would all sing it. She had to approve the lyrics first. Her favorite band was Audioslave. She was dope.
Nice.
So I brought in Getting Away with Murder by Papa Roach. And she was like, this one was really tough, but I think we can make it work. Like, she was like, nothing worse than this, Jason. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll bring in Last Resort next week, I guess.
I will say, dude, our choir teacher, Mr. Weibel.
That should have been number one.
She's brought in Last Resort. She'd have been like, nah, dude.
Dude, Mr. Weibel came in with a whole mashup of Queen.
Nice.
When we sang that whole
Queen's good.
Queen's fire.
I don't care how many times I've heard it on the radio.
We did The Middle by Jimmy Eats World at a actual like
rock band.
Yeah.
Bro, you guys' choirs were lit. My choir did like sea shanties and bullshit. Well,
wait,
there's a lot of hot chicks on TikTok that fuck with sea shanties, though, and that's a fact.
Who the fuck is sea shanties?
Is Sandy down there selling seashells by the seashore?
Four part harmony, which is fucking stupid. I never got to do anything cool before.
Why would, if you're on the seashore, why wouldn't you just go get your own seashells? You know,
that's
like
politics,
that makes no fucking sense, dude.
That is fucking politics.
I found out how that rhyme came about, though.
Okay, enlighten us.
Came up,
actually, I have. Okay, so Sally sells seashells down by the seashore. Came from like archaeologists who dig up the dinosaur bones and shit. And then that's what progressed the worldwide communication. So that's why dinosaurs became a thing, because everybody heard about it, finding bones and shit in the ground. So everybody around the world started digging. And then that's why dinosaurs are real. For a minute there, I was like, maybe they aren't.
You didn't believe in dinosaurs?
Oh, I did my whole fucking childhood growing up until like maybe a year ago.
Your
was like,
cousin is like pro-alien, like
they're fucking
you in the
real.
Fucking penis
hold on.
Hole.
So you believe
no,
in aliens,
alien.
But not dinosaurs?
This
no.
dude doesn't believe in aliens.
No, that's bullshit.
You don't believe in aliens?
No, I don't believe in little green aliens with UFOs watching Earth from the other side of the fucking moon. I
Bring
believe in aliens from another galaxy who are on their own planet like us, who are still trying to figure out if there is life out there besides humans.
Live
or
a
such
little.
As humans.
Live a little.
UFO aliens?
You're pissing me off.
Watch those, like,
speak
no,
on it.
Not those kinds of aliens.
Hold on. Speak on it. I want to see you two fight over aliens. Speak on the shit. Be honest. But say it with your
I'm
chest.
Not, I'm here on Justin's side.
Say
Wait,
it with
no,
your chest.
No, I want to hear your that. What was that stare that you two, you guys? No,
aliens
I
are
am
real,
big.
Man,
listen, I am. No. I am huge on space. The James Webb Telescope just
Fuck
went into orbit.
Yes.
L2. At the
yes,
L2 point,
there.
Which is like 2.5 millions away from Earth right now. And they have it lined in gold plate because it helps yep. to see.
They're trying to find thermal energy.
Thermal energy, yeah. yes.
Okay, it just yes. turned on you, its instruments too.
And it has Hell to reach yeah. It has to reach a temperature of negative 200 and like 22 or 24 degrees.
Yep.
Negative plus 200 degrees. For them to actually start taking statistics Close. In from other galaxies and like planets and stars and shit. And we're going to find out if white holes... Are relevant to black holes, because if you can prove the connection between the two,
black
then that means
matter.
That wormholes are real.
Yeah, true.
One sucks in light, one pushes light and gravity out.
Yeah.
Just getting into it. I'm a nerd about that shit, dude. I'm sorry, but like I'm
me
into
and,
it.
Me and you could talk. We should start our own podcast, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down.
Hold up. Listen.
A little behind the scenesness of Millennials Suck is that Christian likes to keep a very standard interviewee type environment as to where I like chaos.
Which
right?
I do. I respect Christian's so viewpoint on that, but I don't want that boring shit.
Exactly. I don't want to ask you the same 50 questions everyone else does. I want the crazy God, shit. So I always ask people about aliens and dinosaurs. He always talks shit about the fact that I bring up aliens and dinosaurs, but it always makes for a great fucking conversation. So that's why anytime aliens pop up and I don't bring it up, I stare at him because it happens half the time.
Aliens are fucking
He's got
real.
A famous question he's going to ask now.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
You've asked it on every
I've
guest.
Already asked them. It was on the fucking... Listen to our podcast, Christian. Yes.
Yes.
It was on the last time
oh,
they were
shit.
With us.
I forgot.
Listen to you the show funny. You've
or, not... Or maybe just bad, not be bad. Drunk next time.
My bad. My bad.
Fuck.
Be drunker next time.
Dude, he was bumping no, on a fucking cab at that show.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
It was a great time. You wore bibs.
I did.
And I don't know why I remember
Speak
that.
Speak on it.
What's wrong with overalls? I love overalls. I got three pairs.
Yeah, they're great for farmers.
I got one, but I'm trying to rock like the hipster overall look.
Oh,
I think I can pull it.
Like Christian does?
With Crocs on.
I'll kill you.
I'll kill you.
Oh, boy.
I'll kill you.
You wore one piece
You
shirt
motherfuck. I'm wearing it next show.
I swear to God, I'll kill you.
Next show.
I'm not saying the whole thing because it's on recording. Okay, I swear to God.
And then I'm gonna pronounce.
I'm not gonna say.
I know
clearly.
Where a line pit is, bitch.
legal distinction does not apply here.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Aki.
I'm gonna wear bibs, overalls.
And I'm gonna wear a shirt that says Aki.
I'm gonna wear overalls with Crocs and a Gold Star Sucks T-shirt.
I'll fight you. We can fight on camera. I'll world star that shit.
I'll take the whoopings. Y'all just hit record.
You don't disrespect my city in my city.
Wait, Gold Star's from Cincy?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Gold Star and Skyline are like the original like
It's called Cincinnati Chili.
Yeah, Cincinnati
Skyline
Chili.
Skyline started it all, and then Gold Star was like, I'm going to ride that dick.
Well, they're like, we're going to take what you did and do it better. Because Gold Star.
Maybe not better. But
except it's better.
Cinnamon, but...
There's too much cinnamon in Skylines, and also it's runny. It's like a broth. It's a chili broth. It's stupid.
I had a question. Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Because Kanye said, and I quote, God save me from that crash so I can beat Pete Davidson's ass.
Is it yay or ye now?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's been yay forever.
Maybe you shouldn't be drinking right now.
I told you, bro. Speak on it.
Kanye.
Quit.
It's Kanye.
It's Kanye.
I know. No, but I feel like he just changed his name to like...
Yay.
Yeah. Is it yay?
Yay. He's always been yay. That's how he's been referred to.
I think Kanye is a bit of a piece of shit. Honestly.
I think that Kanye is a man who was never properly taken care of during a mental breakdown, and now he's a public gesture for the fact.
I think Kanye's a fucking musical genius.
You're old enough to where you actually have to overcome those things, and you have to realize who you are, and you have to be self-aware to overcome your own problems. And if you don't, at a certain age, 40-something years old, like Kanye is, then you're a piece of shit.
No, I agree. I mean, he is responsible. Like, you can't... Like, just because you're wounded doesn't mean you can bleed on everybody. But at the same time, like, he gets a lot of shit for his erratic behavior, but he's clearly a mentally ill man who has not been given the right direction for his mental illness.
There is a bit of a difference to him.
And yeah, personally. You can tell ever since his mom.
Like, as a person.
He's just been a completely different person. He has been getting progressively worse. And he's fully responsible for the way he does not handle his shit. But I also think that he's had a lot of bad direction. And I also think that being in the Kardashian household for a decade definitely didn't fucking help.
Yeah. Why are the Kardashians even famous, though?
Well,
the sex tape.
Sex tape. A million other girls out there with sex tapes on OnlyFans.
There's a complicated question behind that. Like, that's a complicated question because Kim Kardashian started out as...
I mean, but that adds an ego to the family household in a way. And you bring Kanye into that kind of a household.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like famous for no reason. So they're like, I'm fucking beautiful. I get what I want.
OG Simpson have money. And the sex tape. That's the only reason they're huge. That's the only reason they're famous.
Well, she became the Kardashians became socialites when their fucking dad defended OJ. And then Kim Kardashian was the assistant for Paris Hilton when she was doing the whole thing. And if you watch what Kim Kardashian did, she just did what Paris Hilton did, but on a bigger scale. And she literally used to say that shit, apparently. Like, I heard Nick Cannon talking about it. And then...
My mom's begging to Paris Hilton. She's not going to like this kind of information.
But it's true, though.
Fuck is
and then she released the sex tape with Ray J.
My mom, dude.
And she just capitalized on it.
She saw Disney once in like 01. Tell your mom to get her shit together.
That's why, like, I say you can say whatever you want about those women. Yes, please. But you cannot call them stupid.
They're marketing geniuses.
Yeah, they knew how to make money, and they made a bunch of it. And now they're the most famous people on the planet. There's people in countries don't get media at all know who the Kardashians is. You know what's weird? Joe Rogan's almost as famous as they are for very different reasons.
Joe Rogan is very outspoken.
I think Joe Rogan is
And he is both... I fucking hate politics, goddamn. I can't even believe I'm saying this right now, but he is like both left and right.
The thing with Joe Rogan is
like,
I don't think...
He's the kind of guy that looks like at every situation
he's right
accordingly.
Yeah, he looks at
he's
it...
He's not like, well, you know, I voted for so-and-so, so I need to stick to this. He's in the middle with everything. With every topic, he has his own opinion.
Well, I said it last night on Late Start, just like I'll say it now, I don't think that this is actually a thing against Joe Rogan. I think this is the fact that an individual created a platform that he has absolute control over that cannot be bought out by an entity that has more viewers than every other stream of media combined.
It's himself.
When it comes to like, when you start talking about like,
he's on all Spotify. That's how you listen to Joe Rogan, Spotify and YouTube.
Yeah, and nobody
like,
can tell him what he can and can't.
He's made a fortune being who he is.
I think it's more of an attack on unregulated press than it is on what he's actually saying.
He's the Oprah for men.
Yeah, okay. You know what?
I heard a comic recently say that Dwayne Johnson was Beyonce for boys, and I haven't been able to unhear it.
Fuck yeah. I can't wait till The Rock's president. I am so voting for The Rock.
I'm voting for him so fast. It's already a shit show. Who cares?
I just want to go to war and hear him like, you smell what The Rock is cooking. I'm like, oh boy, Dwayne, do they smell it?
The United States has come to lay it the smacketh down.
Oh, no. Like, this country's about to get the people's elbow, bitch.
he says Syria can
and your candy ass is out of here.
He's like, shut up, bitch.
So
every conference said, press, he's like,
can we get a stone cold vice president though?
I'm here for
it. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh my
god.
Oh hell yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
I was thinking Mick Foley, but I will take Stone Cold.
Mick Foley?
Yes.
Mick
the
Foley.
The Rock and Sock connection is back,
Mick,
baby.
Mick Foley got thrown off the top of Hell in a Cell in like fucking 96.
Yeah, it was the second ever Hell in a Cell match.
Wait, which one died?
Wait, huh?
What wrestler?
A bunch of wrestlers die.
The one that jumped off and like got his neck caught.
No, that was Owen Hart, and yeah. He was doing his Blue Meanie gimmick, and he came down at a pay-per-view event from like a suspended like thread, and it ended up snapping, and he died.
But what about the guy that was like on steroids to get his whole family in shape?
That was Chris Benoit, and that wasn't steroids.
Crazy.
Was not steroids. I mean, he was on steroids. But that wasn't the facts.
Steroids. He absolutely had makes that? You very angry, and it takes every emotion you have, and it they like did intensifies it more than any other drug could. Heroin,
yeah, but that
coke.
Wasn't. They found that wasn't the effect. That was where all the lawsuits came from the WWF, because everybody was pushing a steroids narrative, and that wasn't the case. It was CTE.
What's CTE?
CTE, so you know how the NFL started doing all those regulations against concussions and stuff like that? It's because it was leading to a disorder or some shit called CTE, where it basically creates like a whole bunch of bullshit.
It's like fluid and shit from getting hit multiple times.
They did a scan of Chris Benoit's brain after he died and found out that he had the exact same brain as like an 84-year-old Alzheimer patient that was fully gone.
Yeah.
When he snapped, it had nothing to do with the steroids. It was just because he didn't know who was in his...
The NFL had to literally change their helmets after all this shit.
Yeah, that Will
like,
Smith
they literally
did a
had
movie
to make
about
new
it.
Helmets like that were like more like cushiony and
after the
big CTE thing. Yeah, well, Benoit was a part of it, but
Benoit
really,
was a big
it's
reason
big,
why
it's big in
he
the NFL. But did you guys know this was crazy? I just on the CTE subject. Do you know which sport has the most CTE? And it's not the NFL.
It's the NHL.
No, it's fucking.
If it's not mixed martial arts, I'll call you a
it's
liar.
It's not.
In your face.
It's soccer.
No.
Yes, it is. Nope. Yes, it is. Nope. It is.
Like,
the headers.
What is it?
Yes. And it's fact. They did a study on like the most the sport that gives the most CTE, and it's soccer because of all the headers.
Do you know what's in the category for CTE?
Huh.
Crown the Empire?
Metal bands.
Well, there's a lot of headbanging.
Dude, the headbanging. I heard on the Jamie Joss podcast, they were talking about some shit to where one of their homies that were in a metal band, all their headbanging, like he can't fucking sleep right. All like he has so much like brain trauma to where like they went fucking
you're literally
hard
like
shit.
Shaking his fucking head brain around in his skull.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Like headbanging is dope, but I just feel like live. I feel like
it's good for you. It fluffs your hair.
I don't have hair, so it's not a problem I have.
Aha. It fluffs your beard.
No. It doesn't.
No.
Not even a little bit.
It fluffs your dick beard if you're moving right.
Well, that's why I move my hips in a circular motion.
Dude, I did not know the dude from the dude from Motley Crue, their guitarist, apparently had like some spinal
Nick Mars. Yeah.
Where, like,
oh yeah, he's fucked up.
It made him like turn his body like concrete.
Yeah, dude, yeah. His spine is like fused
by
together.
The Dirt on Netflix was a great movie.
That's fucking
it was. Amazing.
Yeah, MGK played fucking Tommy Lee, dude.
Hey, yes.
That was the best casting in the movie.
The Netflix series where he was, it was like the first Netflix series he was in. He was like blind.
Oh, Bird Box.
Bird Box. Pretty fucking sucked in it.
It was awful.
Then The Dirt came out and I was like, you're not going to do Molly Crew wrong.
He was in Ready Player One too.
And I watched it and he was like amazing.
No, he's literally is just a
I don't know if that's because the actual Bay members were on set for a lot of it. Or if,
well, him and Tommy Lee are actually
actor,
homies now.
But like,
Tommy Lee and Steve-O, that's how they all met.
Yeah.
Him, Tommy Lee and motherfucking Travis Barker.
Did you guys see where they got the Born with Horns album title tattooed on their arms? And then MGK just did another TikTok recently where he told him that they were changing the name of the album. Him and Travis Barker went because they did that joint album together. It was originally called Born with Horns. They got it tattooed on their arms. They did a whole TikTok thing. And then a couple days ago, MGK did a TikTok with Travis Barker where he told him he was changing the name of the album.
That is fucked.
It's hilarious is what it is.
Hey, I will say Bird Box is just a diet the happening.
If you had to get one song's lyrics tattooed on your throat, which one would it be?
Lydia.
That's
highly suspect.
Oops, I did it again.
Lydia, sleep.
Really?
Sleep.
I was cool. Just thinking about Lydia.
You guys like Lydia?
Winter's really into Lydia. So I'm sorry. Lydia's like winter music.
Legit. Do you drive around in the snow listening to Lydia? dude. Actually, me and my boy Timmy went to go see Lydia, and it was probably the best
That's
meeting your idol interaction of all time. And like, we walked up to him, and like, we heard all the questions that these people were asking, and they were like, "Oh my God, we love you so much. Where are you guys going next?" All this other bullshit, like, who are your influences and shit. And like, they were like asking random questions, and then me and Timmy got up there, and like, we had like a couple beers, and like, dude. Like, before they could even speak, they're like, "Hey," and we're like, "Shut up. We listen to you guys all the time. Do we just drive around and listen to your music and smoke cigarettes and just like sing along to all your songs?" And they were like, "Well, I want to ask a real question." And we were like, "Well, okay, deal." They're like, and then like, their bassist or their keyboardist, they were going to ask some question. And the vocalist was like, no, you guys shut up. I want to ask them some real shit. Because what? I want to ask them something that like nobody else ever asks their fans or whatever, apparently. They're like, "So what makes you guys drive around and listen to our music? What makes that your go-to, like in life or whatever?" And I just looked at Timmy. I was like, "Bro, we're having a heart-to-heart with the vocalist of Libya right now." And he was like, "I fucking know. This is the best time of my fucking life."
Did he say you guys were like out there in the middle, like a sea of girls?
Oh, dude, there was nothing but
Lydia,
college girls out there. They knew some of the words.
They
knew some of the words. And me and Timmy were like, every fucking word. And they were just looking at us like, who are these like grown ass men in the middle of the? We were like, fuck yeah. We were like Slayer fans. Like, all Slayer fans fucking killing it in the middle of a Lydia. Knew every fucking word, dude. Either sleep, stay awake, or hospital.
He's like, oops, I did it again.
What? Yeah, absolutely.
But no, seriously.
Tattooed on my throat.
I respect it.
I have no set of lyrics to mine right now that would actually tattoo on my body anywhere. I'm more of imaging because I can't draw a stick figure for shit.
Like Moths of Flames. I would do some like Moths of Flames lyrics.
Just know that you won't be missed right across the throat.
Exactly. It goes like there. It starts here.
Starts here. Starts halfway to this half. And then you just go to like the back of the neck.
He told me he didn't center it well, and he asked me if he wanted me to stop. And I was like, "Nah, bro, just keep going."
I'm already getting lyrics tattooed on my neck. Might as well keep it going. You know?
I already paid a down payment. I'd be like, "Fuck! Oh my god!" Okay, so this band that I grew up watching, my stepdad's band, they slowly turned into this band called Killing Chaos.
Okay, and you've named like 17 bands I don't know today. So
no, they're like a. There's two local bands. It would always be my band that I'm in and then their band.
Okay.
And then we were somehow always like more listened to on Reverb Nation. They'd always track it like that. I'm like, dude, that's because you're listening to fucking the Reverb Nation. But so Killing Chaos, they had a fan, just got out of prison. This dude was a fucking nutcase. Idiot. So he goes to get it tattooed and he comes to up to the fucking people and they spelled it chaos as in like K-H- A-O-S, right?
Yeah. Right.
Without a C. Yeah, but, okay, but no.
Well, chaos is
K-A-O-S-S. That's how they spelled it.
There's no H?
Kill it. Killing co-ass. Or no.
Yeah, no.
Chaos has an H in it.
K-O-A-S-S.
No, but they spelled co-ass.
Oh, okay.
They got the O and the H.
On his fucking neck. Killing co-ass on his neck. So his nickname was always, "Hey, bro, co-ass is coming." I was like, dude, that is the worst fucking mistake.
It's like the embodiment of the no regrets tattoo.
Then my friend went to jail later on, and he's like, "Bro, co-ass was in my cell." And I was like, "Oh my God. Don't ever let him talk you into getting some shit." Co-ass, dude, with a K.
Can I ask you a weirdly personal question real quick?
Is it sexual?
No. Wait, can I? It's racial.
Oh,
yeah,
dude,
go ahead.
Fuck yeah. Dude, I love racial questions.
Okay, so I imagine you guys play a lot of like rural shows, right? Like you have like a
yes.
Like a, yeah.
Yes.
When I was working with The World I Knew, there was this thing that would happen all the time. And for like Foreman says it all the time, like, when people see you perform, you're just a rock star to them. You know what I mean? And that doesn't ever turn off. You're never not that to them. That's just what they are, what you are to them. So they feel like there's this level of like approachability they have. And with Wes being the vocalist of a very heavy band that screams into a microphone and also being black, there was also a lot of, you know, I don't know a lot of people that, you know, I've never seen a black vocalist before type shit. And a lot of comparisons to Seven Dust. So my question, but with all that said, there was also like this weird boldness of like racism that would happen. And it was like, people would come up to him and be like, "Hey man, I don't usually like black people, but you're pretty cool and stuff like that. Do you ever have like experiences like that being a person?
Probably like, hey, bro, for a black guy, you can scream pretty good in the microphone.
Right. How often do you get that?
Not much like that, but like we've ran a couple situations to where like, dude, if anything, I'll get called a fucking Mexican or some shit.
Okay, you want to know a situation? I have the perfect example. Bodak Yellow cover we did for I Apollo.
Oh, yeah. We did the Bodak Yellow cover, and I say nigga in it, apparently. Yeah, because it's in the fucking song. And Miles Claiborne was also in the band at the time.
I remember that.
And he's darker than me. And this dude fucking comments, and he's like, hey, guys.
Shout out to Miles.
He's like, well, love you, Miles. I miss your bitch ass. But he was like, this dude commented, was like, hey, this is a pretty cool cover, guys, but I just don't think it's smart for you guys to be a metalcore local band just out there saying the N-word. And I read it, I was just like,
I'm black, bro. Like, what? What do you mean?
What?
Like, I say whatever the fuck I want.
I was like, bro, are you even a real fan of type this fucking novel of a comment and then just say that shit to me right now? And then we made a video of me reading that off. I was just looking at the camera. And then Miles read it off and he looked at the camera and was like, what? The fuck are you talking about right now?
This guy obviously had no idea who was in the band.
Yeah, he clearly did not see a video or picture of the band. He was just like, this is white people music. You can't say that.
Oh, no. Legit. But this one wasn't, this one apparently wasn't even racist. But it caught my fucking eye. Well, we went to Wheeling, West Virginia to play with this band called False Accusations.
That's your first mistake. Yeah. That whole fucking
West Virginia
state.
It's one of the few things me and Dylan Hall agree on is how shitty that whole state is.
I'm not talking all the shit about West. We had some good times.
They
West
got
Virginia.
Some good four-wheeling down there, man.
They had some good hunting down there, too. But the thing is we were talking to his neighbor once, and he was like, I got some family out in West Virginia. And me and him were just talking, and he said exactly what I was thinking because he just looks at him and goes, I'm going to be real honest with you, dude. They probably fucking suck.
No, but we pulled up in the band and our old guitarist, my cousin, Justin, he walked inside to like double check with the venue and like, hey, where do you guys want us to park? And then he came back out and Q's Mexican.
Q's Mexican?
Yes.
I had no idea.
100%.
I miss Q. I'm sad he's not here.
Dude, I just wanted to hear my boy Jay.
I was so excited to hear that 75 times.
Q's bitch ass. That's what he has to hear right now.
But anyway, Q's a Mexican. You were saying.
Bring him out.
Q's Mexican, and I'm half black. So, like, Justin comes out. He's my cousin. And he's always been the guy, like, to defend me, like, behind my back when, like, I don't hear the shit or whatever. And, like, he'll fucking beat somebody up. That's why my friend groups the shit. But we also have a lot of racist jokes.
Listen, bro.
It's crazy.
Me and the Twig dudes back in the day before everything got way more PC would just, because everybody's represented in the Twig group. Mm-hmm. So like it was just a free for all of the worst shit
talking.
Yeah. I can never say half the things that I said to them out loud in public.
Oh, I fucking, no, I understand. But Justin went inside and it was like this little biker area. We played like another biker area that were like, no, yeah, you wouldn't be able to join our biker gang. And I was like, what? Bro, I just want to get a bike. And it was like, yeah, bro, but no blacks allowed. I was like, damn, that's Brackens. A real bummer. And then we played and afterwards they were like, bro, that's fucking killed it. I was like, yeah, but I can't be in your fucking biker gang. But Justin went inside to check and get the venue shit. And then he came back out. And he's like, hey guys, I'm sure we're fine, but a little warning. There's a sign on the wall that says no colors allowed.
Wow. Where was this?
This is in Wheeling, West Virginia. And I was,
oh yeah.
Dude, like I just fucking, fuck
dude,
you.
Fuck that place.
I forgot,
bro.
The story took place in West Virginia. And as soon as you said it, it made sense. Continue.
He wakes me up. Cause I wake up and like in the back seat and I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, sign inside. It says no colors allowed. And I was like, what the fuck? He's like, Brent, don't do anything dumb. I was like, no, we're going. Dude, get your ass up. Let's go inside. And we fucking barge in that fucking bar. We're like, hey, like it's a bunch of these like old biker dudes and like this one like old like bar, like bartender lady. Like I walk in and this fucking little brown dude's like, hey, now just look right at us. I was like, the fuck does this sign mean? And the girl's like, no. Like, biker gangs, no colors. Like, you can't roll like that. I was like, I am so sorry.
I was like, that will never happen again. I am sorry.
Oh, what the fuck's up with this? He's like, I'm sorry. Justin came outside and was like, hey, bro, no colors allowed. You guys should be so mad about that. I was like, I am mad about that.
Let's go in and say something to him about it.
Kick the fucking door open. I was like, yo!
What a turn of events that is.
That's like a Netflix show that got you going. Jesus.
And she was such a sweet lady. She was like, no, no, no.
Like an episode of Black Mirror.
No, honey, it means like biker gangs. I was like, I am so sorry, you beautiful woman. You beautiful. You're all beautiful people.
Okay. I'm sorry, I yelled.
Top dollar, like, just to see that reaction. I would pay for the whole seat and only use the edge of it.
I would
just to watch that cover.
I love what you
back
said.
Of the bar and see that happen, bro. Like 100%.
Oh my god.
Oh, do we got a gun?
Which one is me?
We got a. What was it? Oh, okay. So we were on tour, and apparently we played Austin, Texas with Apotheca and Enslaved by Fear. Shout out if y'all listening. But we were playing that show, and that was our first stop on the tour. Second stop. So we just play that show, and apparently Joopy is like, hey, guys, I'm going to go down the street and get something to drink. This is like, he's not 21 yet. But he walks down the street and gets something to drink, and we're taking shots with the dude from I'll think of it in a bit. Joopy apparently goes down to like a little market or whatever and runs into two guys, not runs into him, but like right behind him or right behind, they're right behind him. And I think I just said that twice. But they were talking and they're like, bro, that band is fucking kill it. And like this dude was like, apparently Joopy was like feeling himself. He's like, fuck yeah, dude. I can't believe like they're loving it. I didn't know they came from our show. And like, apparently, Droopy was, like, walking, and these dudes were behind him. Two of them, they were, like, walking, and they was like, yeah, dude, that fucking band killed it. And, like, they went so heavy, like, yeah, they remind me of Pantera and shit like that. And, like, I was like, god damn. And apparently, they were like, yeah, I loved them all, but I don't know about that nigger vocalist. Ah! And I was like, what? And apparently, Droopy turned around and fucking knocked dude out.
Dude.
I don't mean to laugh at that. The reason why that's funny to me is because I've heard of so many of those moments.
But no, one dude, you're a white guy, so no. You must get like the, hey, bud.
All the time. We're all homies. I work with I'm a welder, okay? So I work with nothing but right-wing country dudes.
Yeah.
So like, I hear that, like, some dude literally came up to me one day and was telling me a story about a difficult customer. And he said, I can't remember what he was talking about. Something about like he just had his cousin install a retractable awning or some shit. And he goes, yeah, you know, typical black guy. And I was like, that's the weirdest. I literally looked up. I was like, what does that mean? But no, like I laugh because it's awkward because there's been a whole bunch of stories. I've never witnessed them, but they all, every time I would miss a road run with Twick, they would always come back with a story of somebody calling West the N-word to his face. Like it would like at one point some dude, this reason why I asked the question initially is because somebody had a show called Pappy Z's, which I wasn't at the first time. Then it stole my soul the second time. But the first time I went in there and I guess some dude walked up to them when Alex and Max were smoking a blunt after the show. And he was like, yeah, you guys are really good. You did a great job. And I usually don't like N-words, but you changed my mind about you. And he shakes his hand and walks away. I was like, how the fuck?
That's a big man right there.
That's a ballsy man. That because is Alex is like 6'3". He's the biggest Mexican the world's ever seen. and Wes is a big dude too. And it's like he just walked up completely unashamed and just dropped
him. I'm talking about
away.
What Wes.
Oh yeah. Wes
Wes being the bigger person.
Yeah, Wes.
I hates hate
that
being
shit.
The bigger person.
Yeah, Wes is
I fucking
Wes
hate
is good at it though.
Person.
Wes is really good at dealing with people.
I've only the only two, like, I've been in three fights in my life, and the two of them were knockouts, but I swear they were from, like, my ancestors. My ancestors' fucking pain fucking came through my fist, and I, like, they were...
I want to make a Black Panther reference so bad people. Right now. I'm not gonna, but I wanna. Dude,
like, I was like, Wakanda forever. I rock these... Dude, one was a kid who was a little younger than me. I was a little ashamed of that, but I was so proud of it. I was like, fuck you. And then Ryan, our old vocalist of Nameless Tragedy, got over me. He's like, you just got knocked the fuck out, bitch. We were walking through the mall, and I was walking. I was like, I feel like a badass right now. And I was like, wait a minute. I just knocked a kid out in the mall.
You should leave.
And I was like, fuck. And like, there was like this whole group of black dudes chilling, like, fucking ghetto black dudes chilling on the fucking benches in the mall, just chilling. And they all saw me running. They're like, kill it, bro. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. You guys even do shit. I got
fuck
out.
Yeah.
But the next time was at the fair. I was with my high school. Champaign County Fair. I was
dude,
like,
hold on. Because I've been in like 5 fist fights at county fairs, bro.
No, you want to know what started this one? I was walking around with my high school girlfriend holding her hand. And they were like,
that
damn.
Was it. That was it right there.
Oh, no.
Right there. Nothing having to do with her at all.
Oh, okay. Well, that's misleading.
No, nope, they're like...
100% in my mind, somebody saw that. Went, nope.
No, I was walking around. I was walking around with her. I had my whole group of friends, but like the group of friends that hung out around my house, we were 4 half black kids. The only 4 half black kids at Triad, and
what's called Triad.
We made up 2 black kids. So we were walking around fair, and we were walking. We were chilling. I was with Damien, Devin, and Derek, and this fucking 2. Corn dick fucking bean wiener motherfuckers. So like,
corn dick bean wiener motherfuckers.
I'm talking about like a rippled fucking baseball caps with the fucking fish hook on it cut off sleeves so where you can see their armpit hairs and some like their fucking nipples. And like, dude, 80% of my friends dress like that now. So this was before then. So I was like my senior weenie stage and I had my 1-inch white plugs in. Walking around with her, my fucking lip piercing, my skinnies, and she dressed like this fucking preppy cheerleader chick, and I'm walking around on her hand, and these dudes are like, damn, look at them earrings. They look like they come from Africa or something. And I felt her squeeze my hand, and I was like, I'm not gonna do anything. I was like, I'm a pretty lenient dude. I don't give a fuck about that. So we got out, and we were leaving the fair, and these 2 dudes are drunk as fuck, like leaning on the fucking fence, and they were talking shit, like, yeah, get your NAACP ass out of here. I was like, whoa. Jesus fucking Christ. And I was like, yep, babe, you're gonna have to let go of my fucking hand. She was like, don't. I was like, get off. And I was like, sir, walking. And then one dude made eye contact. He was like, oh, this brownie's about to get it. So he like left the fence and his friend stayed back. Bad idea. So for them being that drunk, but dude, these are like fucking corn-fed giant fucking dudes. And I don't know how this happened. But like we got face to face and I was talking to him. I was like, hey, man. I know what you want to say, and I don't understand what your problem is right now with me at all. So I think we should just drop it. He's like, I think you got a problem with me. I was like, first off, this is my first word saying to you right now. I haven't talked to you all fucking night.
We've had 6 interactions, and I haven't said a word yet.
But I was like, hey, say what you want to say. And I just praying that he says the N-word. And now that I think about it, I don't think he said the hard R. But he's like, look here, knit, and like half of the word came out, and I fucking rocked his jaw, and he fell on the ground like... and like tried to touch his face. And I just looked at him. I was like, fuck yeah. And I turned around. And I turned around and my other brown friends are like, go, Brandon. And I was like, I got us. Let's get the fuck out of here. Sam, now we gotta run.
I brought one home for the team, bro.
You dropped him on the first G.
And then my other country friends from Triad, they pass in their giant fucking F-350's like, go, Brunel's badass, boy!
Definitely get the fuck out of here, though.
And I was like, fuck! And we had to fucking run in the car. We went to McDonald's afterwards, and like, that's where everybody hung out, so this bitch was fucking packed. And everyone was like, please knock this dude out! And like, as I was walking away, his friend was like, oh, God, shit fire! And started, like, running towards him, and I was like, let's get the fuck out of here!
Dude, I was at the Butler County Fair once, and my... My high school girlfriend showed steers. It's a fact. And
wait, what you?
She showed like steers.
Steers.
Like,
I thought you
like
said deer.
Young. And I was like, young boy cows. Deer?
Okay. You know, white people shit.
Yeah, white people shit.
Right. So like we were in the barn one day. It was the day before her show, and the guy who was like running this part of the fair was drunk as shit. And he's just sitting at the front of the bar. And by the way, it is like 1 p.m. It's not in the morning. But it's also not late in the day. It's like 1 p.m. This dude's drunk as fuck. And Darius Rucker's cover of Wagon Wheel came on.
Oh, shit.
And I swear to God, it was somebody's boombox in the corner. And he just starts throwing a temper tantrum. And he goes, I swear to God, when I find it, I'm going to fucking destroy it. And he's like trying to find the radio. And then finally they shut it off. And he goes, thank God. And he said something along the lines of, N-words don't sing white people music. And then he just stormed out of the barn. And I was like, that is the wildest shit ever. And then somebody went, well, when you're right, you're right. And then he just walked out of the barn. And I was like,
I'm a guy.
He's like, I should not be.
This is a. I'm a young man, and this I'm very impressionable. This is a bad place for me.
Dude, my face. My favorite that I find like dumb. I grew up with Dave Chappelle. We all did. Like my dad raised me around nothing. He's the goat. He had the whole cassette of every season, and we watch it all every day. I got home, and we watched. I did not know Clayton Bigsby was the first episode.
Episode one, bro.
That's fucking legendary.
It's also the best bit ever.
Yep.
It's the best bit in the history of sketch comedy.
Dude, this shit where he's like, them monkeys were beating on my hood.
Y'all want to see my face? Dude, the ending scene where he talks about him leaving his wife, bro.
Oh, trust me. I could quote it all.
I can't on air because I'm white.
I understand. But, dude, my favorite, what's the fucking, Replacements? Have you seen the Adam Sandler movie where he goes to prison?
Not.
Oh, The Longest Yard?
The Longest Yard.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
Dude, it's fucking, you just said it, Vice President.
Stone Cold is
on the opposite.
Dude, he's a big racist.
The Hammer.
No, that was Bill Goldberg.
That's Goldberg. Stone Cold's the racist, dude.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's racist to Nelly in the library, yeah.
Stone Cold was racist to Nelly in the library. That happened in our lifetime.
That's a sentence that is true.
It was.
100%. Okay, say what you will about Adam Sandler. I've been rewatching some of his old films.
I fucking love Adam Sandler.
I do, too. And his stand-up, 100% fresh, is fucking fire. Oh, so good. I don't care what you say. I'm with you.
Okay,
I love it.
It's just too old. Dude, Richard Pryor killed that shit.
The opening line.
I just can't get it over.
The opening line. I got hit by an electric car because I didn't see it coming.
Oh, do I watch that whole fucking thing?
So good. Anyways, but I've been rewatching some of his old films, and this guy is a genius when it comes to what's on point now that isn't acceptable later. So I watched Little Nicky literally a couple weeks ago. They are dropping words in that would not fly nowadays, bro. I watched this as a kid. That was normal.
And he's still the family funny man.
I know. How did he get away with it?
He also did Overboard. Still the family funny man.
We just listened to Bill Burr on the way here, and he said a lot of words you can't say now.
Mm-hmm. Bill Burr's a goat. He's definitely a goat.
God damn it. What was The Longest Yard? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, when he was racist to Nelly in the library.
No. My favorite racist thing that he says, I've played your funny, dude, once I hear something so ignorant, me and my cousin Xavier, we just laugh our fucking asses off.
This is how a white man plays
guitar. Oh my God, you guys.
That's how a white man runs a football.
No, he's walking through the fucking, in a town, he's like, this is how a white man plays guitar.
He was listening to Mississippi Queen, but this is how a white man plays guitar.
That is not a sentence that you just said, sir.
Fucking like, Mississippi Queen by Southern Rock Band Mountain.
That was okay back then. Like, imagine if that shit came out now.
Think about Tropic Thunder.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr.
Dude, the most legendary blackface that people are pissed about. And dude, do you know who his best friend is? Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
You know who told him to do that role?
Jamie Foxx.
You know what the best part about that movie
is? He's like, dude. But I think it's a bad idea. He's like, Jamie Foxx is like, no, it's an awful idea, but it'd be fucking hilarious.
The idea of like playing blackface and saying it's not like to make a point that it's bad is bold as shit. I wouldn't do it myself, but crazy. I can't believe that movie came out, bro.
It's a fucking legend.
Did you guys see that meme? It said, if Iron Man was black, who would you cast to play him? And it was just Robert Downey Jr. in blackface.
So we were talking about fairs
and
shit.
Playing a dude disguised as another dude. What do you mean? What do you mean?
My favorite line of that whole fucking movie, because it's one of my favorite movies ever, is the one white guy who's the only, like, he's like the sensible guy of all of them, the little skinny guy. He's like, I'm dealing with everybody has identity crisis.
Jack Black was addicted to heroin in that movie.
He tried to get the gay dude to let him go from the tree offering to suck his dick.
Jack Black was addicted to heroin?
Yeah, he was gay.
He played a guy.
Well, I was going to go back to a conversation him and I were having earlier.
Let's hear it.
Because we were talking about fairs and shit, and I just brought up country, and you said, what is good country? Well, what's good country to
Outlaw
you?
Outlaw country, baby.
To me, it would be like...
Jason Isbell.
Yep. Indian Outlaw.
Dixie Chicks.
They're just the chicks now.
Dierks Bentley.
I don't like
Dierks Bentley's all right.
He's not like old, but he's like
what about Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll's dope.
As Jelly Roll is
as a rapper, as the like he's country new, rock singer he's doing right ish. Now. He's all right.
He's been around for a fucking minute.
Really?
Yeah.
The only reason I was saying that earlier is because like we were talking about radio music and country. And my dad listened to nothing about country. And I only had like a weekend with him like once a month. So it was like very nostalgic. So I have a soft spot for country.
Yeah, no, I grew up on country. Like I used to hate Travis Tritt for the longest time, obviously, because it's all I heard every day. And now like I have like 7 Travis Tritt songs on my like songs on Spotify because it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. No, I like I don't like pretty much anything after like 2008. I think it all just it became too arena. Poppy. It became too poppy and every song was the same. And it was just so blatantly pandery that even Bo Burnham made a song about it. It was great. But no, like I really like 90s Tim McGraw. I really like Reba.
I love Reba.
I'm a survivor. Way better songs.
I just watched the whole
I was thinking
scene.
More like the night the lights went out in Georgia. That's probably my favorite Reba song. I played it while on acid at a bachelor party. It pissed everybody off.
No, I remember Reba's show, her TV show, Reba.
I just rewatched the whole thing.
It's a great show.
I loved it until I didn't watch the last seasons. Barbara Jean, Coke.
100%.
Absolutely.
For sure.
She went from being like this big woman, like she was, I liked it the way she was, and then just came back like fucking drained of her body. I was
she did
like,
the Adele thing.
Hey now.
Adele did it right though, to be fair.
I can't be funny.
You better have a real spit take.